Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
Tony Katz, the Morning News, 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins, filling in 6:07 now, Friday morning. My bad. I thought it was Monday for a second there. That's odd. That's an odd mistake. Would be the worst thing ever if you're expecting a Friday and you fell into a Monday. Let's do this. First and foremost, the EU and now the United States are calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, while a whole lot of people in Israel, all the people in Israel, I think, and this came from Tony's reporting when he was there, want the opposite. They want to make sure that Hamas is removed from this planet completely and entirely. And ceasefire, stopping any of those sort of things, allow Hamas to regroup, replan, et cetera, et cetera. It is not necessarily surprising that the United States is now a part of this call because the people in charge are definitely going to be pressured by the side of the aisle that has been screaming for this for a while. That's demonstrating to them, to everyone in, politics, not necessarily in society or in the world, but in politics, that this is the right decision for them politically. Now, granted, the EU and others calling for this put Israel in a very awkward situation, to say the very least, about it. So what actually happens, what actually occurs from here, I don't know. I do know that if, say, Israel listens, say they actually do what everyone is telling them to do now, or, well, at least these politicians are telling them to do, and then Hamas has another attack on the Israeli people, I imagine that is something that Israel would respond to in a certain way and demonstrate the belief system in a certain way, however you want to say it. I don't know the right way to say it, but I would describe it as the worst case scenario for our relationship with our most important ally in the Middle East, the United States' most important ally in the Middle East. So whatever occurs from this point on, I don't know. But it seems like we're in the situation that we probably could have been in weeks ago. Because of the politics at play, not necessarily, again, because of what makes sense here. Because I'll say one last thing about this, and I don't mean to harp on this for too long or whatever. But the last thing I'll say is that during the first attack in October, there was a ceasefire. That's something that probably a lot of people need to remember about this entire situation. All right, I want to play one other thing, and then we'll take a quick break. Or, well, you know what? Actually, I'll save the audio. Let's do this instead. There's been a lot of conversations about whether or not the RNC will pay Trump's legal bills. And I think, obviously, as many people do, I think everybody probably should believe this now, it's in the RNC's best interest, since Trump is now the Republican nominee, to pay legal bills, to help in that way, to funnel money the way that they've been doing it before. What I think is so interesting about this is how many people on the far left, and that's kind of some of the audio I'll play a little later on, are screaming and yelling about this as if it makes no sense, as if it's terrible and horrible and, utterly unfair. That is hilarious to me in one sense, because if Trump were the nominee of the Democratic Party, the Democratic National Committee would be paying the legal bills. That's how it would be occurring right now. And so that doesn't mean putting up the bond in New York, and that's a whole nother conversation for sure. When we're talking about Trump and we're talking about what's going on today or what's going on Monday, Monday is the deadline for him to come up with $500 million. And if he doesn't do that, then darn it, he's going to start losing properties, according to New York and Letitia James. So I find so many parts of this so fascinating and so, intentionally difficult for the former president of the United States. And then I find a lot of the calls to change the behavior or do something different, ridiculous, in all honesty, because if all these court cases hadn't come against Trump, hadn't come after him, he wouldn't be spending the money on defending himself in courtrooms. If they had waited, say, till after this election cycle and then decided to bring charges against Trump. They waited long enough. They could have waited a little longer. He wouldn't be using campaign donations to pay for those bills. But darn it, that was the choice of those who came after him when he was still a relevant political nominee, if not much more than that. All right, we'll take a break. It's early. It's Friday morning. I promise the energy will come for me, and I hopefully it comes for everybody else too. A quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in. Tony Katz, The Morning News, 93 WIPC.
Every day she takes a morning bath, she wets her hair, wraps a doll around her as she's heading for the bedroom chair. It's just another day.
Tony Katz, The Morning News, 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Matt and Carl hanging out as they do every single morning. This is kind of an odd story. I can't help but ask a question about it, though. So a woman accidentally filmed herself via a Zoom call, like many women or many people do, doing stuff she didn't want people to see. Essentially, she was taking a shower and wasn't aware that that was on the Zoom call. Here's the most awkward part of this that makes it different than other stories like this, though. She was at a funeral. She was Zooming into a funeral, and she didn't know the entire time that she was on Zoom taking a shower until she showed up in person to the wake, and people there are like, hey, we just want you to know a couple things happened during the first part of this thing that make us feel like you don't really care about the individual and also make it awkward for us to be looking at you in person. I don't know how I would just leave if I was this person, no matter what my connection is to the individual. And this happened in London. I'd be like, you know what? I've definitely done enough here. I'm just going to go. But any reaction to woman accidentally Zoom showering during a funeral?
We all have our different way to mourn, Craig, and who's the judge? I mean, some people.
Sure.
No, it's, you cut her out of the will, you're good with it. But I remember these Zoom calls were really tricky, man. When Urban yes. One first bought out MS Communications, we had an all-staff meeting and go by Zoom. And, I did it from my apartment. And I don't want to go into detail, but my apartment is my place. And I kind of do what I want as far as dressing. Well, sure. I didn't have the video off switch whenever I logged into the meeting. It was me and 50 other people. And I'm like, that's going to be a human resources violation, but thankfully nobody said anything. I mean, I get it. Listen, the problem is the woman wasn't respecting the funeral. That's what you have to do. If you are going to take part in something, you want to be authentic, and to do that is to actually care about the person and the family of the bereaved. So, I think she has some values that may need to be taken into question a little bit here.
Yeah, no, dude, absolutely. I agree so much, because the first reaction I have is, all right, we've seen this story before. Somebody does something on Zoom that they don't want people to see, and I guess you can forgive it. We have not seen this story very often where it involves somebody in a funeral, which definitely makes you feel very different about not just the sights that you've now seen of whoever the family member is, whether or not you wanted to see those things. I imagine many people probably did not want to see those things. And then beyond that part two, the whole fact that now, you got to deal with, I don't even know how you'd explain that. If I were this person who showed up at this thing and I was like, yeah, I couldn't make it. I was on Zoom though, and it was a beautiful service. And they're like, really? You thought so? I guess we got to let you know some stuff. I don't know how you'd try to spin it if you were that woman. But that's why, again, I said I'd just leave. I would have no excuse. I just be like, all right, guys, I'm sorry. This is the end of the road for me with this whole situation. I'll see you guys at some other point. All right. Another story out there that I like a lot. I thought this was interesting. The stuff that you're likely to throw away after someone of a different generation. I don't know why there's so many of these stories out there for me to start the show, but someone of a different generation leaves these things to you. And so it's called millennial junk. This is stuff that they think doesn't matter at all. I guess a lot of these things are like boxes that people save or other cherished items, rubber bracelets, promotional items, Dave Matthews Band t-shirts that stood in line to wait for a concert in 2001. The reason I love that one is someone actually did this in Goodwill. They donated a beloved t-shirt, I guess, from somebody who's a huge Dave Matthews fan and had no idea about it. DVDs that people have, CDs, all kinds of stuff that people think is just old technology. And finally, a collection of water bottles and thermoses is something that wound up at a Goodwill that I guess someone just didn't want to keep. Any reaction to this, to the idea that there's stuff that even if you care about it, if you leave it to somebody of a different generation, they're not going to care at all?
No, I mean, that's what the way it's supposed to be, right? I mean, the things I care about, you know, if the next generation doesn't care about that, I mean, it was important to me. It was special to me. I have those special memories that I made for myself. And yeah. Those memories, they're particular. They're personal, man. And I can't expect somebody else to pick up my old stuff and be like, yeah, this is great. Oh, man, this reminds me of Matt's dad. You know, that kind of thing. You know, I mean,
I'm going to hang on to it.
Yeah. And to me, there's kind of a level of, what about me-ism, right? A level of ego by saying, you know, I expect people to care about the same things that I do. So, yeah, I kind of get it, but at the same time, you know.
Let me ask you this, though, because and it wasn't a family member of mine. I'm not outing myself as a mean person, but it was a friend of mine that I knew. His grandfather had just collected all the newspapers, like just every newspaper. He was one of those guys that saved them forever. He had a crap ton of them, to say it the nice way. And I remember when he wound up getting left them, my friend, he was like, what do I do? I have hundreds and hundreds of newspapers, and they meant a lot to my family member who's no longer here with me. But like, I don't want to keep this many newspapers. I think he does still have them. I think he got a storage thing and he's paying a monthly thing. And it's been years now. And there's just a bunch of newspapers in a storage facility. But what do you do in those situations where you're like, this to them meant enough that it's in the will? But to me, it's not necessarily a thing. And who do you leave it to, I guess, if you hang on to it for a long time?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, who do you leave it? I mean, I have my grandpa's platoon, you know, sitting in my kitchen right now, and it's underneath the sink. I have like,
awesome.
Like 1,000 kitchen cabinets to one closet in my apartment. But it's grandpa's platoon. And to my day, I'm like, okay, this is cool. It's from grandpa. And he did beautiful things with his life. He fought in the Korean War. I mean, the man was a war hero. He's just, you know, just this outstanding person. I don't want a platoon. You know, so, and I feel kind of bad about that. But at the same time, what do I do with this thing? I have a one-bedroom apartment. Yeah. I have no room for this. And I have several other oddities that I'm like, yeah, this is cool. But, you know, if I have a child and I give him a spittoon, I wouldn't be surprised if he took the spittoon and knocked me over the head with it. He's like, what are you doing to me, Dad?
It's a weird connection we have, by the way, that my grandfather also fought in Korea and does tell stories about being a war hero, although I'm pretty sure he cut himself with a knife in the kitchen, and that's why he got sent home with a Purple Heart, or at least is what he used to say. I don't know which one is true or not, but that's a weird connection we have, apparently.
That's cool,
Yeah, that's awesome. One last quick thing. I know we got to take a break in just a bit for traffic, but restaurants now in some places are creating a non-refundable deposit if you create a reservation, especially if you don't show up. I think the deposit gets applied to your bill if you actually do show up, but there are restaurants now, at least some places. I don't think there are any in Indianapolis that are doing this, although maybe you can let me know. But 28% of Americans admit that they make reservations and just skip them, and restaurants are sick of this, apparently, so they're trying to fight back in a weird way.
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, hey, I'm going to come over to your house and spend the night and then not show up, you know, like say, you know, or getting ghosted by a woman. So I'm a little personal about this. It's, you know, it's just basic decency. I mean, you know, even if, okay, I make a reservation and my sister brings her child's maybe 2 years old. And you have to, I'm like, okay, can I just make this reservation for 4 instead of 5? And it's like, no, you tell me I have 5 people so they can set the place, they can prepare, and then you'll have a better experience. If you're not going to go, cancel the reservation. Do the thing, because the people that are doing the reservations and the canceling and the hostesses are people too. You know, that's as simple as that. And they deserve our respect. And that's what I'm saying. You know, lift a finger, take the 30 seconds it takes to go online and make the cancellation. It's not hard, man. You know?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. By the way, I might have Googled spittoon just to make sure that I knew what you were talking about. Is it one of those brass ones? I might have Googled that just to look up the visual. All right, we'll take a break. We got a lot coming up on the show. News 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff to talk about, as I usually say. First, the GOP is very, very upset with the House Speaker. Many Republicans are saying that he got rolled, or he got, you know, taken to the cleaners, whatever your expression is of choice that you want, as far as deciding to continue to fund the government. Here's what I'll say about it. I do think it's kind of interesting that so many people believe it to be, say, an unacceptable, and Speaker Johnson might be in this group of people, by the way, but an unacceptable outcome to go ahead and let the government stop for a bit, to just not fund it, to just see what happens, to just go that road. The reason why I think it's funny that that's an unacceptable situation to some is that it's what we actually should do. And I mean this not trying to be on a far side of an aisle or not trying to play Marjorie Taylor Greene audio for you or anything like that, although I do have it. And I have Speaker Johnson as well talking about this stuff, and I have a lot of other politicians that are mad at him right now. But here's the thing that I think is so interesting about this is you wouldn't notice, and I wouldn't notice, if the government stopped being funded for a small amount of time. It was a large amount of time, sure. We'd notice more. There'd probably be some disruptions. People who work for the government, they'd notice right away. That would not be good. And by the way, I do think it's ridiculous, and I always want to say this when I bring up this topic, that we would stop paying our men and women who are serving this country in our military for any amount of time, whether or not the politicians can agree or disagree on stuff. We should always be paying that check. And I know Republicans put a bill forward a little while ago that would have done that. But the thing that I don't understand is if we actually all referred to the way the government spends money in our own lives as appropriately as we could, they're a teenager with their first credit card that keeps maxing it out, and we keep giving them more money to keep going again and again and again. And everyone believes that. Most Americans would say, yeah, no, the biggest reason that we have the problems we do in our economy is government spending, and we need to reel that in. We need to stop that whatever way we can. And so I just think that's so fascinating that if it were, and I know whenever anybody gives the kind of analogy I just provided, they're like, well, that's not at all comparable to how the government actually exists. And what, of course it's not. I want to make the comparison to make it as digestible for all of us when I say that every parent, Republican, Democrat, but I don't care who you are, would cut their kid off if their kid was spending like our government spends, and then tell them to figure it out. And the biggest reason that we need to do this, or we need to support politicians who would do this, is because we need the government to start behaving as if they don't just get the money no matter what. Because I do think that's the biggest problem as well, is that they just behave that way. All right, there's one other piece of audio I do want to play. It's definitely a different topic, and I'll just play it quickly. I think this is Fox 25 in Boston that actually is using this audio. This is the governor of Massachusetts discussing how it'll just happen from time to time. The horrific story of a 14-year-old girl who was attacked and raped by an illegal Honduras immigrant here in this country. I want to play this audio because this is surreal to hear. And yet this is the opinion of a lot of people, a lot of places, is that this is a byproduct of the fact that we refuse to actually enforce the law being that you can't illegally come into our country. And if you do come into our country illegally, we deport you. We don't let you stay. But I do want to play this because I do think it's just sort of shocking that someone, anyone, could say this about this type of story and walk away from it thinking that it made sense to voters or to anyone. Here we go.
Says the vetting process falls far short.
And to be able to say honestly that you're truly vetting anyone, I think is dishonest.
The governor says Alvarez came to Massachusetts through a federal program.
This is also an individual who came in lawfully under the federal government through a federal program. You know, it speaks somewhat to the issue that states are having to deal with now in terms of the mass numbers coming across the borders.
We asked Governor Healey if she can prevent this type of incident from happening again.
You know, unfortunately, we have security and systems in place. We have vetting in place. It is unfortunate that you know, from time to time, things will happen.
But Representative DeCoste says the vetting.
Hold on. It is unfortunate from time to time that things will happen is, again, and I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say this, one of the most surreal things I've heard a politician say about a story as awful as this one. And yet it doesn't really seem to be all that surprising when you think about a lot of how we're discussing these topics right now in our society, but it's definitely wrong. Whether or not it's surprising doesn't matter. Wrong matters more. A quick break, a lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in, Tony Katz, The Morning News, 93 WIBC. Tony Katz, The Morning News, 93 WIBC. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Matt and Carl hang out as they do every single morning on this show. I thought this was pretty interesting. If you're in love with a coworker, that's really the way that this story starts. It might not be what you think it is. I think the New York Post and a few other people put this out there. They're calling it workplace or office goggles. Which I guess is somewhat similar to beer goggles. It means that if you work every day with someone, you might eventually decide that they're more a fit for you than, say, if you weren't already forced to be around them on a somewhat consistent basis. And so your crush, your, you know, desire to maybe screw up your workplace by dating somebody and then having a terrible breakup occur might somewhat be because you don't want to date anyone else that you work with. This is the best of the options of the people that you're around every single day. I found that amusing. I don't know what we think about this.
I that's against everything I've been taught over the last decade. You know, from human resources. I mean, I work for two companies, so I do decency training for two different companies, not to mention, you know, the other standard fare, which is fine because everybody deserves a safe place to work, and I totally get it. Listen, I mean, I've crushed on people at work before, but I tell you what, man, I just can't go there. Because of that reason alone, I mean, it's like, who am I? And this person, you know, a lot of times they might have kids or a family or a husband. Sure. No, I'm kidding about the husband part. But it's something you look at and you have to have a little bit of decency about. So if that person is your one work crush and you work together intimately, yeah, you got to be really careful there about that. You have to be right if you make that move. You have to be 100% accurate. You can't miss there. You just can't.
Oh, you got it. You got to do the like years of will they or won't they? The Ross and Rachel at the workplace. Right. You cannot go right in and just try. Absolutely. You know what I find so funny about that is I know so many people in different generations. I'm a millennial. I know, Matt, you're kind of like on the cusp of Gen X and millennial. But I know a lot of people who met and fell in love with the person that they're married to today in at a workplace. And I know how much different this seems to be now or unacceptable it is now. What I find hilarious, though, is the idea that we would have a lower standard because of the people that we're around every day by force because of work. And then that's why they are calling this office goggles. And maybe that's why the relationships also don't work out now. There's a thing going on, and it's been going on for a while now, like fear of missing out in the dating world that causes everybody to think that the, you know, better person is just around the corner or just one more like app swipe away, which I think is causing a lot of standard problems in relationships. Like if you don't like anything now, all of a sudden you're like, that's too much. I'm going to move on to somebody else. But I don't know why I love it more as an office place thing, because I've never heard of that. And I've definitely heard of beer goggles. I've heard of it quite often, and I've seen it in action.
You know, the thing that's funny is, you know, without beer goggles, I can't date.
I gotcha.
It's really tough. But think about it. You have beer goggles. You have coffee house goggles. You have, I had hospital goggles at once for my doctor. She was beautiful. First thing I said when I woke up, oh, you're beautiful. You know, she never came into, she never treated me again. You could have gym goggles. You know, it just depends on what you're doing. But the point is, this is on us. I mean, and to be able to have that mental health and to be able to go out and meet new people, whether it be online. And I don't do the online dating thing, but if you're just focusing on that one person that have one particular element and you are actively looking, you know, you got to spread your wings a little bit.
Buddy.
You know, you
got to
get out there. You got to see the world, feel the world, you know.
I love just the quick list of all those ones you just ran through. Cheerleader effect is another one I've heard of before, when like there's cute friends and then you think that the one girl is as cute as the friends, and then you find out when they're alone, the cheerleader effect isn't as strong as you thought it was. I've heard of all kinds
now,
of things.
What is that cheerleader effect? So she has a friend and you think the friend's attractive.
So actually, and I think that How I Met Your Mother is one of the places that made this sort of a household thing, TV show. It's when one individual looks better when she's with a group of friends than when she's by herself, because her friends are all really cute. So they call it the cheerleader effect, like a cheerleader team. Or I guess, you know, another one my wife would probably use, the firefighter effect, whenever she sees a group of firefighters, she thinks they're all attractive and she says something like that about it and it hurts the team. Yeah, I know it happens, man. But if you see one of these people by themselves, you're like, oh, maybe not as special as I thought they were.
That poor girl. I say that from experience.
True. You know? It's true, man.
I mean, you know, I think we've all been on both sides of that. We were that friend in the group, you know, where the group made us look better at the same time. You know, we looked at somebody and was like, oh, you know, it's okay, you know, but try to get in the know person a little bit, you know.
There we go.
You know, and I say that because I'm superficial as hell. So, you know, never mind. Yeah.
I know. Matt, I love the fact that you're like, by the way, dating tip, try to get to know people. Don't try to just care about how they look and if you want to swipe a certain way. All right, we'll take a break. We got a lot coming up, including a woman who got fired from a teaching job for being a rapper. And I love her rapper name.